It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. If you've been with us this week, you know we've been airing segments from our 2009 Pacific Northwest Reformation Conference, the session I gave on Christ at the Center of Preaching. We've been airing different segments throughout the week, and of course, it's much better to hear this as a whole. So if you would like CDs of this conference, you're welcome to order them by calling Linden by going to our website, lindenurc.com, or calling 360-318-0429. Well, now, let's get back to where we left off yesterday. How do you get people straightened out? Whip them into shape? How do you do it? Well, today, if you lack morality, I know what you need. Small groups. Personal accountability groups. That's what you need. Well, if it's the need for renewal, then just get on with the spiritual disciplines. Dallas Willard has got a whole bunch of those. If the problem is individualism, create a better sense of community. Nothing wrong with that. If the problem is consumerism, preach against worldliness. Beat it into them. Preach a Puritan Jeremiad. You know, they identified a specific sin of the people. And then they would look in the Old Testament and find where God annihilated people and said, it's coming. Scare them right in. Those are all things that we could use to some degree or another. I'm not bashing. But whatever, I'm trying to make the case that whatever the problem is today, we've got answers, don't we? Is the answer then, we've got all sorts of churches to choose from. The mega church, the emergent churches, the house churches, the traditional churches, all with their answers, all telling us everyone else is doing it wrong. Here's how you do it. Why then is no one finding the answer? Well, the simple answer to that question is that we have presupposed that everything has to be fixed on a horizontal level. All of our problems are to be solved this way. We all presuppose today that the fundamental need the Christian has is just to be told what to do in some way, shape, or form. We get the doctrine. Give me something I can take with me now. Who's left out? Who stands at the side and says, come to me? All you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Well, it's our Lord. We have access through him. The bearing of that truth, of his person and work, upon the mind of the Christian is the most important need to be recovered today. And there's no power in that when the answers are left on a horizontal level, when the answers are told, just go do this, go get your journal, go do this more. You've essentially said the answer is the law. T. David Gordon says, people know what they ought to do, but they're dispirited and lethargic, without the vision, without the drive or impetus to live and with and for Christ. And the reason for this dispirited condition is that the pulpit is largely silent about Christ. He's mentioned only as an afterthought or an appendage to a sermon. In many churches, he's never proclaimed as the central point of the sermon, or surely not on a weekly basis. That, my friends, is the adulterating of the Word of God.
today. And you see, when I ask how the word is being used craftily, when we are presented with horizontal quick fixes, just left with a nugget of application to sustain us without the power of Christ and Him crucified, without being nourished and feeding upon Him, His life, applications will never work. You'll always be in search. You'll always be in search. Up and down, tossed to and fro by every new idea till you're in the bookstore looking for the next number one. People nourished with a steady diet of Jesus, Him preached, are not asking these questions. My point is this: a steady diet of feeding on Christ in the preaching will cause you to do. You don't have to worry about that. I promise that. Luther said that in the preface to the commentary on his commentary in Romans. The Christian doesn't need to ask whether good works are to be done, but before he is asked, he's done them. Christ calls me daily to come to the well. Christ summons me to eat his flesh and to drink his bread spiritually. It is his life that sustains me. He's the vine. We are the branches. That's where the power lies. I am united to Him. He is the vine. And if anyone thirsts, the Lord says, don't start doing, come. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't, you have no part with me. Why are we in search for something better? What really are we searching for? Jesus spoke of the kingdom in Matthew 13. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Sitting with a man in our congregation just 2 days ago, and he has really been through it. And he said to me something profound. He's had multiple cancers, and pacemaker was just taken out, and he almost died from the infection. And he said to me, he said, you know, all my life I've been after things. There's one thing now that I want the most. I said, what's that? Christ. Christ. He, his kingdom, his word is the pearl, who when it's found, you're satisfied. You're full, John says. And fullness, as Peter says, inexpressible joy. Filled, nourished, strengthened. Christ, as Calvin says, clothed in his work, it's the kingdom. The greatest attack then today is not really, and hear this, because I think it's a really important point. I always think my points are important, but the most important, the thing today that is the greatest danger in the life of the church is not the introduction then of some positive error. I don't know if we would have said that years ago in the history of the church, but we say that today. The greatest danger in the life of the church is not the introduction of me standing up here and saying something blatantly false. The greatest danger in the life of the church is the absence of the one preached who gives us life. It's what's not being said today that is your greatest threat. It's who's not being preached. The truth as it is in Jesus, as the apostles said. The amazing truth that all the biblical writers understood was that not only is there an exceeding abundance of power for us to have a right standing because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness before the throne of God, but that he also gives us sanctification. Paul says both come from the preaching of his life. Both come from the preaching of his life, death, and resurrection. Augustine once said, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, O Lord. Paul had heavy pressure on him because the opponents were doing things so much more gratifying to the flesh. They had the numbers and the core reality that he was facing and the core struggle that his heart bleeds. It's not only preach Jesus, but their great charge against him. Paul, if your gospel is so powerful, why does a veil lie over so many hearts? Why do so many reject it? Probably the most painful reality for the pastor, isn't it? Why do so many turn away? Well, Paul answers that. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, he gives you a very clear answer to that. He says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine on them." You hear his response? I won't allow you to say that. I won't allow you to charge me with that. You're not going to do it. There may be a veil. Hearts may be blinded, but it's not because I'm failing in what I'm doing. I will preach Jesus. That method is what he has chosen. I will not. The problem is not with the truth. The problem is with the human heart. The problem is that people don't believe, and the problem is that Satan comes and snatches away what was heard right away. Jesus said that. That's the problem. But the antidote, he says, and I know this is the great calling I have. Verse 5, the drive of this all is to say, my goal is to do what? To not preach myself, but Jesus Christ and ourselves, bond servants for his sake. That is so refreshing, isn't it? So refreshing. That as John said, we would decrease and that he would increase. Debate how much farther to go. Turn real briefly with me to Romans 10. And we'll stop after this. In Romans chapter 10. It's a powerful point he's making here. In verse 6, he says, he's talking about Christ being the end of the law for righteousness. In verse 6, he says, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you hear the core issue there? Don't try to manipulate God in bringing Jesus to you your way. Don't try to manipulate in bringing Jesus to you. How is he near you? How are you spiritually sustained? How is he made manifest to you? How is he held out to you in strength and in power? Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. It's all in place, he says. It's all here. You've got it. Listen, it's here. Christ is brought to you through the preaching of the gospel. God sends a messenger for you, and he's there.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We're thankful you've joined us. If you would like CDs of this, don't hesitate to write us or to call us at 360-318-0429. You can place your order. Well, we're thankful to have this opportunity each and every week to air Abounding Grace. Again, this is supported by the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.